So welcome to our first All Age service of 2025. We are here to worship together with songs and with Bible readings, with videos, with prayers, with talks. And the theme for this morning is God's big plan for his world and his people. What if we could just get the lights for me, please? Would you mind please doing the first one? Thank you. Every year, people make plans and resolutions, don't they? So if you were here on the first Sunday of the year, you may remember that I mentioned a YouGov poll. And the YouGov poll said about a quarter of people in the UK made New Year's resolutions for 2025. But I wonder if you can remember what those New Year's resolutions were in the top five that I mentioned. Even if you weren't here, I wonder if you can guess what the top five resolutions might have been. Anybody like to waffle one? Losing weight. Losing weight, that popped in at number three. Okay. Saving money, that was top of the pops. Jill, very good. Yep, save more, spend less. Any others? Stop eating chocolate wasn't down there, but maybe that's sort of under lose weight, perhaps, I think. Any other offers? Hillary? Yeah, drink less. That was down at number 14, Sarah? Yeah, that was right. That was focusing on family relationships. So here's the top five in reverse order. There's the one Sarah mentioned. Spend more time with or improve relationships with friends and family. Gain new skills and knowledge was fourth, 7%. Lose weight, number three, 16%. Get fit or exercise more, 17%. And number one was save more and spend less. Apparently, experience suggests that on average, two-thirds of people will break or abandon their resolutions in under a month. So about two-thirds of people will abandon their resolutions. But in our first all-age service for 2025, we are celebrating God's big plan for his world and his people. And we are celebrating God's purposes because they didn't just last for a few days. They last for all eternity. And we're celebrating God's wonderful purpose to save his people, that all things in heaven and on earth will be joined together with Christ as the head to his praise and glory. That, if you like, is God's resolution. And because God has made it, it goes without saying that it's going to happen. So we're going to begin with praise and worship. We are going to sing a song. The words may not be familiar, but I'm fairly sure you'll know the tune. For posh people who like classical music, it's to the tune of Thaxted. And it's Jupiter Movement of Gustav Holst, The Planets, if that means anything to anyone. I think you'll better know the tune as I Vow to Thee My Country, if you know that song. So it's O God Beyond All Praising. We usually stand to sing if we're able to, but please remain seated if you prefer. So it's got fantastic words and really helps us offer our praise and worship to God. O God Beyond All Praising, we worship you today.
Thank you.
please take a seat. So John tells us that out of the fullness of his grace, God has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. And Paul tells us that God has lavished the riches of his grace upon us. So in response to all that God has done for us, we're going to come and offer him our praise and worship. So let's pray together. And Father, you are indeed the God beyond all praising. And at the beginning of this new year, we want to come and praise you for your goodness. And we do want to sing the love amazing that songs cannot repay. We do want to wonder at every gift you send. We do want to praise you for blessings without number and praise you for mercies without end. And we do praise you for the good things that you have lavished upon us, good things in our own lives, in our family, in our church, but most of all, we want to praise you for Jesus, the one who saves and redeems at measureless cost, as the old hymn reminds us, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who is due glory and honour and praise. So again, as we've just sung, whatever this year holds for us, please help us to triumph through our sorrows, to marvel at your beauty, and to glory in your ways. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we've got two Bible readings for us this morning. The first Bible reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's from Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. And Sophelia is going to come and read for us. Thank you.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in heaven. In Christ, he chose us before the world was made. He chose us in love to be his holy people, people who could stand before him without any fault. And before the world was made, God decided to make his own children through Jesus Christ. This is what God wanted, and it pleased him to do it. And this brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. God gave us grace to us freely. He gave us that grace in Christ, the one he loves. In Christ, we are made free by his blood sacrifice. We have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. God gave us that grace fully and freely, with full wisdom and understanding. He let us know his secret plan. This was what God wanted, and he planned to do it through Christ. God's goal was to finish his plan when the right time came. He planned that all things in heaven and earth will be joined together with Christ as the head. In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people. God had already planned for us to be his people because that is what he wanted. And he is the one who makes everything agree with what he decides and wants. We Jews were the first to hope in Christ. And we were chosen so that we would bring praise to God in all his glory. It is the same with you. You heard the true message, the good news about the way God saves you. When you heard that good news, you believed in Christ. And in Christ, God put his special mark on you by giving you the Holy Spirit that he promised. The Spirit is the first payment that guarantees we will all get what God has given to us. Then we will enjoy complete freedom as people who belong to him. The goal for all of us in the praise of God in all his glory.
So thanks ever so much to Sophelia for reading for us. As we reflect on those wonderful words, let's come into God's presence and just confess ways we failed him and let him down. So let's just be still before him as we pray. Father, you chose us in love to be your holy people, and yet so often we fall short of your standards. We know that there are many times when we go our own way and do our own thing and ignore your plan and purpose for our lives. And Father, we know too that we are to blame. And we're sorry that we've let you down. And we ask you to forgive us and make us clean and make us new. And we thank you that you had a plan and you sent Jesus. And we thank you that in him we do have forgiveness. In him we are made clean. In him we can have that new start. So Lord, we want to give you thanks and praise for all your compassion, your forgiveness, your mercy and your love. And we offer you our thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, our second Bible reading is from John 1, 10 to 18, and Eleanor's going to come and read for us. Thank you, Eleanor.
John chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to which that was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or human husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was born before me.' Out of his fullness we have received grace in the place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made his own."
And thank you very much, Eleanor, as well. So we're going to continue in our worship with a couple of songs. We're going to sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes." And that'll be followed by, "There Is a Redeemer."
Glory of the Lord.
seat. I'm going to invite Anne to come up. Anne's got something to share with us. So thank you very much, Anne.
When we had all the snow and the ice, on the Tuesday of that week, there came a knock on the door. And it was dark, it was about 4:45. And I looked, because I don't normally answer the door, and he shouted, "It's the postman." So I thought, "Oh." So I opened the door, and he said, "I am sorry." He said, "I have skidded into your wall at the front." And I said, "Oh, right." I think that he'd backed into the drive, and it is an odd drive, and he'd skidded and hit the wall. So I said, "Well, thank you very much for coming and telling me. Somebody else wouldn't have bothered." And he said, "It's about being truthful, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes, it is." So he wrote down on the post office card his name and phone number, and he went. So I got a quote for my wall. And I rang him that week and just said, he didn't answer the phone. I just left a message saying that I'd got a quote, how much it was, and that was it. Within the hour, he was back knocking on my door with the money. I just could not believe that. And I just thank God for his goodness. And that is something I wanted just to share.
Thanks ever so much to Anne for sharing. That's really helpful and encouraging to all of us. Thank you. Let's come and spend some time in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we do want to come before you to pray for our world, particularly at this time where there is just so much need. We remember particularly the troubled places of our world, and we once again lift up before you the Middle East and Ukraine and Sudan. Father, we thank you for just the tiniest glimmer of hope this morning for the Middle East. And we just want to bring that needy part of our world to you. And Father, we do pray for a peace, and we pray for a healing of the nations. Remember also, Father, the situation in the United States. We remember the many, many people who've been affected in Los Angeles by the wildfires. We think too of all that the nation will face with a new president. We want to commend the United States to you and indeed the other nations of the world for whom it will also have implications. And Lord, we leave it with you and we ask you to have your way. To remember too those countries where it's hardest to be a Christian, where people really have to count the cost of following Christ, where Christians face opposition, persecution and death. Lord, we pray that you might continue to work in the most amazing of ways. Pray, Father, for those we know who work as missionaries, who share this glorious good news of Jesus. We think of Annie and Dan in Albania. We think of BMS World Mission, Open Doors, and so many organizations, Father. We just pray your blessing upon their work. But Lord, where it is difficult and demanding, we pray that you might give them strength. Where they're uncertain about what to do, we pray you'll give them guidance. When they are lonely and homesick, Lord, remind them that you are always there with them. Pray too for our schools. We pray especially for this school. Lord, we pray your guidance, your wisdom, your strength for the teachers and the staff. We pray that you might enfold all the children in your loving arms. May your hands of protection be upon them. Pray too for our church. Lord, we ask that you might just fill us with your love. We pray that we will gladly speak for you and work for you and live our whole lives for you. We pray that we will make Jesus our Saviour known through our words, through our lives, through our prayers, through our gifts. And Lord, we thank you too for Oasis. Thank you for the way that you've been at work there and for the way that you've guided us. And we continue to lay the path before you for the future. And ask that you'll continue to work out your purpose and your plan so that we can really make Jesus, the light of the world, known to those around us. Just pray your blessing upon it. You also want to lift into your presence those who are sick and those who are struggling. Lord, we ask for your healing love for Brian and for Vera, for George and for Kay. Remember Sue's brother and sister-in-law, Bruce and Barbara, Judith's niece and nephew, Anne and Zach, for Jill Bell with her hospital appointment this week, for others too who are on our hearts this morning. Lord, we ask that your healing love might flow. And finally, we want to pray for ourselves. Lord, please fill us again with your Holy Spirit, that we might offer all of our praise, our devotion, our love, our service to you, in the name of Jesus, and for the glory of his name. Amen. So we're going to take up our offering now. Just to remind you that the bags support the work of the church and the pots support the children we sponsor in different parts of the world. We're going to sing together the song that was played at the beginning of the service. I thought we might know it, but that may not be the case. So I'm going to ask the musicians just to sing the first verse and the chorus through. No, that hasn't got a chorus, has it? No, just sing the first verse through, and then we'll stand and join in from the first verse again, if that sounds okay. It's a fairly straightforward tune, but I'm not a musician. And it's also, all praise to him, the God of light, who formed the mountains by his might. So we'll listen to the first verse sung, then we'll stand and join in together. Thank you. Picked up a message from Bernie saying that he's had to take Sue Gabrielson to hospital. She's got chest pains and some dizziness. So she's at A&E. There is no queue, so that's at least something. So we just commend Sue to the Lord as well as we pray. Let's pray together. So gracious God, first of all, we pray that you might use this money and all that we have for the building up of your work in this church and in the wider world for your honour and glory. We also want to take this opportunity to commend Sue to you. Father, we pray that you'll give her peace. We pray that she'll receive the care and the treatment she needs very quickly. And we do pray your healing touch upon her, that it won't be long before she's able to return home. Lord, may your healing love just flow to Sue. And we just ask that you'd enfold her, and indeed Bernie, in your loving arms. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Thank you. So, the theme for this morning is God's big plan for his world and his people. We've already heard that in his word. We've already sung it as well. Now, does anybody have a favourite book? Anybody got a favourite book? Heather? Rebecca? Daphne du Maurier? Yep. Louise? 1984, George Orwell? Yeah, any others? Dave?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Fantastic. A person after my own heart. Anybody else? Say that one again, Kay. Town Like Alice. Is that Neville Shute? Yeah, brilliant. Back in 2003, the BBC's Big Read ran a search for the nation's favourite book. So I wonder if you can guess any of the books that made the top 10. I think I've got probably 50 here, but whether I can look down in time may be a bit of a problem there. But any book that you think might have made the top 10, we're talking about novels. Jane Eyre came in at number 10. Very good. Dave? Funnily enough, Lord of the Rings is number one. Any more? Pride and Prejudice, number two. Very good. Chris? War and Peace. Number 20. Any more? Moby Dick, it's not looking good, it's not, no, didn't make the top 50, I'm afraid. Dave?
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit, got a bit of a theme here, I think, with Lord of the Rings. Number 25, Hillary. Christmas Carol, I've got David Copperfield. Yeah, number 47. Peter Rabbit. I'm not even going to look for that one, I don't think. But I can manage Watership Down. Is that close enough? Richard Adams. That's 42. I'll put the top 10 up for us. So there you are. It's Lord of the Rings, Pride and Prejudice. Further down, we've got Harry Potter. Most of the Harry Potters made the top 50. And then further down, we've got 1984, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, Jane Eyre. Going further down, we've got books like Treasure Island, Emma, Great Gatsby, Animal Farm, Far From the Madding Crowd, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, and so on. So that's the top 10 books. I know that George has written a number of books. I don't know whether anybody else here has ever written a book. But you may be able to remember, even if you haven't written a book, you may remember being asked to write stories at school. For some of us, it was a long time ago, but you remember being asked to write stories at school. And when you plan your story, you've got to make a number of decisions, haven't you? So you've got to choose your characters. You've got to decide on the plot of your story. So you need a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you've got to decide on how it's going to be resolved, how there's going to be a climax at the end. Unless, of course, you're writing a trilogy, so it might carry on, but basically, you've got to find out how it's going to resolve. So some children, they use a little acronym to help them as they plan and prepare and map out a story. So this is the acronym they use. It's SCOOP. So S is setting, which tells when and where. C is characters, the characters who are in the story. The O is the oh no part of the problem. What is the problem? The second O is order, so you put the story in order. And then the final letter, the P, is problem solved, the great resolution. How is the problem solved or fixed? And God has a plan for his story, and it's all for his praise and glory. And that plan was mentioned in our Bible readings from Ephesians 1 and John 1, and we're going to have a look at it. So first of all, God's story has characters he has chosen. So have a look at verse 11. In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people. God had already planned for us to be his people because that is what he wanted. And he's the one who makes everything agree with what he decides and wants. Now, down through the years, there have been lots of famous biopics. You may have seen some of them at the cinema or on television. Lots of famous biopics in the history of cinema. I wonder if you can recognize these biopics. Here's the first one. Any offers on the film, first of all? Yep, Braveheart. Who are we looking at there? Who is he playing? Yep, who is William Wallace? He's Scottish. Yep, he led Scotland in the First War of Independence against England, of course. Looking like a very 80s or 90s hairdo, I must admit, there. How about this one? Yep. So we're looking at Gandhi from 1982. The actor? Yep, Ben Kingsley. How about that one? Yep, Lawrence of Arabia back in 1962, based on the life of T.E. Lawrence. Any offers for the actor? Peter O'Toole. How about that one? Yep, it's Lincoln from 2021. 16th President of the United States. Any offers on the actor? Daniel Day-Lewis. How about that one? It's Howard Hughes. That's the right name of the person. Name of the film? Leonardo DiCaprio playing Howard Hughes. Any offers on the film? No, wrong film. The Aviator, 2004. The American aerospace engineer, business magnate Howard Hughes. How about that one? Colin Firth. King's Speech. Which king? I've got George the Sixth. Is that right? Right. 2010. Whoops. How about that one? Very close. It's another word for number. It's hidden, but not hidden numbers. Hidden figures. Yep, 2016. Any offers on the actress or the character? Octavia Spencer is the actress, and it's Dorothy Vaughan. We all know about the space race, but not many people knew about the role that female black mathematicians played at NASA in making it happen. Well, here for me is one of the most wonderful truths. When God chooses the characters for his story, he doesn't choose celebrities or film stars. Look who he chooses. Ordinary people like you and me. In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people. God had already planned for us to be his people because that is what he wanted. And he's the one who makes everything agree with what he decides and wants. So I think that's absolutely wonderful. So God's story has characters he has chosen, and that's you and me. It's us. But notice also that God's story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So God's story has a beginning, and here it is. In Christ, he chose us before the world was made. He chose us in love to be his holy people, people who could stand before him without any fault. Now, I'm going to put a timeline of some important dates in history. But I wonder if you can guess the date of the event, or maybe the approximate date in some cases. So here's the first one. London Olympic Games, any offers? 2012. 2012. First man on the moon. Yeah, 1969. Reign of Queen Elizabeth II begins. It's sort of a little bit of 52 and a little bit of 53, I think. I think her father died in 52 and the coronation was 53. World War I. 1914 to... Oh, dear. Oh, no. What a disaster that was. 1912. The sinking of the Titanic. 1912. The gunpowder plot. Got 1605 behind me. 1605. The Wars of the Roses. We'll start with the century. But it's not the 16th. It's not the 17th. It's the 15th century. 14 something or other. I've got something to 1485. It's a bit flexible, the end. It's sort of 1485, 1486, 1487. So it's 1455 to 1487. The sealing of the Magna Carta. Not 1210, a bit later. 1215. Battle of Hastings. If ever you want to know a key code to somebody's house, try 1066 as your first go, because it's quite often that one, isn't it? 1066. Romans invade Britain. I've had AD 55. Any other offers? A bit earlier than 55. I've got AD 43. One more. Oh, I've done it again. Work starts on the Great Pyramid of Giza, 2600 BC. Now, hopefully the last one. There we go. Most woolly mammoths have died out. Got 12,000 BC. It's about 8,000 BC. Most died out about 10,000 years ago. There were isolated populations off the coast of Siberia and Alaska. By about 4,000 years ago, they were all gone. But here's the wonderful truth. God's plan had a beginning. Before World War I and the gunpowder plot and the sealing of the Magna Carta and Romans invading Britain, even before woolly mammoths. Remember what verse 4 said? In Christ he chose us before the world was made. He chose us in love to be his holy people, people who could stand before him without any fault. Just think of that, God's plan taking shape before the creation of the world. I think we often seem to be wrapped up in things that are happening to us at the moment, but always good to see the big picture as well. That God chose us, of all people, in Christ before the creation of the world. That must mean we are incredibly precious to him. So God's story has a beginning. It also has, of course, a middle. And verse 7 says this: in Christ we are made free by his blood sacrifice. We have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. So I thought we could just see a very short video just to illustrate freedom for us. So a video about freedom. Thank you. So just a little video to help us think about how wonderful freedom is. But look at this. In Christ, we are made free by his blood sacrifice. We have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. Remember these wonderful words of Jesus? Would you mind again, please, Darren? So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free from sin and shame, of course, but free to be the people God's called us to be. Free to be part of his plan. Free to live life to the full now and for all eternity. Free to serve our Saviour and bring glory to him. We are truly free. And we are part of God's plan, God's great plan. So God's story has a middle. And then finally, it has an end. And here's verse 14. The goal for all of us is the praise of God in all his glory. Praise of God in all his glory. I wonder how many hymns or songs you can think of that begin with the word praise. Any hymns or songs you can think of where the very first word is praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise to the holiest in the height. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Yeah, praise him on the trumpet, the psaltery and harp.
Praise him, all the little children.
Praise him, all the little children. Yeah. Here's a list of a few, many of whom we've already mentioned. So we've got some slightly more modern ones towards the bottom. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise you in this storm, casting crowns. Praise you, Lord, for the wonder of your healing. But lots of great hymns and songs just begin with that wonderful word, praise. And in our Bible reading, Paul mentions the praise of God's glory, the praise of his glory, three times. So he tells us that God destined us to be his children to the praise of his glorious grace. He told us that God appointed us to live to the praise of his glory. And he tells us that one day he will finally redeem his people who are his possession. Why? To the praise of his glory. And that's our glorious future hope. That, if you like, is the end of the story. Maybe it would be better to say, actually, it's the beginning of a new story, because we see our Saviour face to face. We enjoy life forever with him, where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, where there's a brand new resurrection body, a brand new heaven and earth. And these wonderful words from C.S. Lewis from The Last Battle. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story. One story finishes, now we've got the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That is our future hope, a story where every chapter is better than the one before. And it all comes to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You might have noticed in the Bible reading from Ephesians that Sophelia read to us, that name of Jesus was mentioned a lot of times. Either Jesus or his title was mentioned 15 times in 14 verses. So it's in Christ that God has blessed us, in time and in eternity. It's in Christ, the one he loves, that God has lavished his grace upon us, so that we're forgiven. And it's in Christ that God planned that all things in heaven and on earth be joined together with Christ as the head. And of course, it's all to the praise of his glory. So let's pray together. Father, we realize this morning that we have so much to praise and worship you for. And we thank you most of all for all that you've done for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you indeed that it's in Christ that you've blessed us in time and chosen us in eternity. We bless you that it's in Christ, in the one that you love, that you've lavished your grace upon us. So there is forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And we thank you that it is in Christ that you have planned that all things in heaven and on earth will be joined together with Christ as the head. And it's all to your praise and glory. And we give you praise and glory now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I thought, what better song could we finish with than "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done"? And we close them with words from Ephesians 1. So let's pray together. So may God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us the Holy Spirit to make us wise and reveal Christ to us so we may know him better. And may the eyes of our heart be open to see his light, to know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glory that he promises to his people, and his power available to all who believe. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us for always. Amen.